Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. It's time for the Zach Gelb Show. No huddle offense.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
If you're a Browns fan, the chant you're supposed to go, here we go, Brownies, here we go, hoo, hoo. It's more so like, woof, woof, after what we saw in that fourth quarter and what we saw in the final 2 minutes. ESPN stats and info. NFL teams have won 2,229 consecutive games when leading by 13-plus points in the final 2 minutes. The Cleveland Browns were up 13 points in the final 2 minutes, and then this happened. Listen up to Bob Beschusen on the Jets Radio Network.
Flacco in the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops back. At the Jet 25-yard line, looks downfield, heaves a bomb down the right sideline. Corey Davis behind the defense. He's going to score at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Here is the Jet onside kick try. Braden Mann bunts it left. It takes a hop, gets to the sideline. It's loose. There's a scramble for it. The Jets think they have it. They do. The Jets recover the onside kick in front of their bench at the 48-yard line of New York. I cannot believe it. 25 seconds to go. The Jets down by six. Flacco takes the shotgun snap and drops. Looks up the seam. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Garrett Wilson scores. The Jets are a point after away from taking the lead with 22 seconds to go. A miracle here in Cleveland. I can't believe it.
And it wasn't the same old Jets. They make the extra point, and the Jets come on back down 13 points in the final 2 minutes to stun the Browns 31-30. Next game, the Lions at one point last week were a favorite. I know the game was a pick'em at kickoff. It was the first time in 24 games the Detroit Lions were a favorite. They got out to a blazing hot start. They end up winning the game 36-27. Commanders made it close late. Amon-Ra St. Brown had an 11-yard TD reception. It was his second of his game to make it 36-21 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Here's Dan Miller on Lions Radio.
Goff turns on first down, fakes the give, wants to throw, does left side, caught, touchdown Detroit Lions! Oh baby, guess who? The man who just set an NFL record, Amon-Ra St. Brown. What a delivery by Jared Goff.
And that record is a NFL record with six straight games of at least eight receptions and a TD. The final stat line for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 184 yards of total offense and two touchdowns in the game. He was the leading receiver and the leading rusher for the Detroit Lions yesterday. Our next stop, we go to New Orleans. Jameis Winston had multiple fractures in his back. He was still able to play. He threw three interceptions, all coming in the fourth quarter. And this put the nail in the coffin as the Buccaneers win 20-10. Mike Edwards with a 68-yard pick six. This made it 20-3 with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Here's Gene Dekaroff on Bucs Radio.
Here they go again. Tempo mode, dropping to throw. Winston out of the gun, throws to the left. It's intercepted into the 35. Outside the numbers to the 40, to the 35, to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Mike Edwards, touchdown Tampa Bay. That's the dagger, my friend. Four takeaways by the Bucs, and Tampa Bay gets a pick six.
And that's the first time Tom Brady has defeated the Saints in the regular season as a Buc. The only other defeat for Brady up against the Saints was obviously in the playoff game in the year that the Bucs did win the Super Bowl. Our next stop, we go to the swamps of Jersey, where the New York football Giants are 2-0. Let me repeat that. The New York football Giants are 2-0. Someone go pinch Mraz to see if he could still believe it. Giants beat the Panthers 19-16. Daniel Jones was faced with a 3rd and 6. The Giants tried to pass it, had nothing cooking. Daniel Jones then called his own number and ended the game. Here's Bob Papa on the Giants radio network.
Play fake. Jones back to throw. Jones is going to run it. Jones up the middle. He's got the first down to midfield and slides to safety at the Panthers' 48-yard line. First down, Giants, 1:38 to go. It's a gain of 11, and Carolina with just one timeout remaining.
So the New York football Giants go to 2-0. The Panthers 0-2. Baker Mayfield, a pedestrian, 14-29 for 145 yards. And a touchdown. Panthers did put the ball on the turf on their first two drives of the game. Patriots and the Steelers. Nelson Aguilar finally did it. He caught the football. Here's Bob Soucy, and I wonder what the reaction's going to be from Scott Zolak. I think it's going to be like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, can't believe it. Let's listen up to the Patriots Radio Network.
Jones takes the snap on 3rd down and 3. Dances in the pocket, throws the long ball right. With some contact.
Got it.
Inside the 5. And in for the score, Aguilar. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nelson Aguilar, 6 catches for 110 yards and that touchdown. Patriots win 17-14. Mitch Trubisky threw an interception in this one, and Steelers fans were chanting for Kenny Pickett. We go to the site of Hickey's funeral, Jacksonville, where the Indianapolis Colts have not won since 2014, and that continued on Sunday as the Jaguars blanked the Colts 24-0. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hickey, you still with us? You on the other side? You still there? You have
Colts? I'm here. Okay. I'm here.
Just making sure. Listen up. Relive this. James Robinson, a 37-yard run to make it 14-0. Frank Frangie on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The 37-yard line. They run it with James Robinson. James into the open field, 30, inside of 30, inside the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! James Robinson exploded and extended the lead for Jacksonville.
Trevor Lawrence, 25 of 30, 235 yards and 2 touchdowns, like a knife through butter, a hot knife through butter, up against that Swiss cheese Colts defense and a Colts offense, a line that was horrendous. Hickey, do me a favor here. I think I got this right. Matt Ryan threw 3 picks, right? Is that correct?
3 picks.
Oh, okay. Another year where the Colts don't have a quarterback. We then go to Baltimore. It looked like the Ravens opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Miami Dolphins. They were up 35-14 in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins come back to win in regulation 42-38 behind 4 fourth-quarter touchdowns by Tua Tagovailoa. Here's Jalen Waddle. Waddle like a penguin, 7-yard TD reception, and this made it the final score.
Tua shotgun, back to throw, looking, steps up, fires, touchdown!
You got it!
It's Waddle! Touchdown!
Oh, my gosh. Tua looked around and came back to Waddle. What a throw and catch.
With 14 seconds left.
Oh.
His 6th touchdown pass of the day.
You know what's crazy listening to Dolphin Radio with Jimmy and Joe Rose? They were stunned. You could hear it. They were stunned by what they witnessed in the fourth quarter. Tua, 36 of 50, 469 yards. And 6 passing touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 11 catches for a 190 and 2 tutties. Jalen Waddle, 11 receptions for 171 yards and 2 tutties as well. And the Dolphins are the first team in NFL history with the QB throwing for 450-plus yards and 5-plus touchdowns while having 2 wide receivers go for 170-plus yards and 2 touchdowns. This was 28-3 Rams up on the Falcons. The Falcons almost had a 28-3 comeback in them, but it was halted just short. Rams 31, Falcons 27 is the final. Jalen Ramsey saves the day after that terrible performance to kick off the year up against the Bills. He had the game-winning interception with 107 left. As the Falcons were driving, here's J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network.
Mariota has a knee-high snap. Rams send five. They hit Mariota. Throw goes up. It is intercepted at the goal line. Jalen Ramsey out to the 20 and out of bounds to the Rams bench. Jalen calls game in week two for the Rams.
Cooper Kupp in the game, 11 catches for 108 yards and two touchdowns. 49ers and the Seahawks. The big news here is that Trey Lance is now out for the season. Got the surgery today. And Jimmy Garoppolo is now going to take over this team once again. 49ers beat the Seahawks 27-7. Ross Dwelly with a 38-yard TD snag. And this made it 13-0 in the second quarter. Here's Greg Papa on the 49ers Radio Network.
Here's a play action by Garoppolo. Looks left, going to throw wide open. Ross Dwelly. He'll take it five. Ross Dwelly will dive for the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco! Welcome back, Jimmy Garoppolo!
And Jimmy G, 13-21 for 154 yards and a touchdown. We go to Dallas, where Jerry's world was popping. And not with negativity. Positivity. The Cowboys, their first game without Dak Prescott because of the injury, they win. All Cooper Rush does is win. And which I find very funny, he was able to go get that spike and that other playoff, as you know, it was not the case in the playoff game up against the 49ers. That set up the Brett Maher game-winning 50-yard field goal right at the horn. Here's Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network.
Smack on the 40-yard line is where Anger will put it down. Maher from 50 for the win with 3 seconds showing. Snap, hold, kick from 50. Maher! Cowboys win! Brett Maher walk-off!
I don't often give a lot of compliments to the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. They're deserving of praise yesterday. And can the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line do something, or you're going to ruin Joe Burrow? Our next stop is Denver. We're going to do a whole segment on the incompetence of Nathaniel Hackett. Because even in a win, that was a loss yesterday for Nathaniel Hackett. I didn't see after the game. Hickey, no one put a Gatorade bath on him, right? They weren't tone deaf in Denver. Oh, coach, it's your first win. Gatorade bath. Because he almost lost in the game. And the fans at one point were chanting down the play clock. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So the team knew to snap the ball because of all the miscommunication. Broncos win, but it felt like a loss, 16-9 over the Texans. Russell Wilson not looking good through the first two games, but he did have a 22-yard touchdown, and this made it 13-9 in the fourth quarter. Let's listen up to Dave Logan on the Broncos Radio Network.
Play fake for Russ. He looks, he floats one, he wants Saubert. Saubert is there, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Denver! Eric Saubert, his first catch of the season. A touchdown of 22 yards from Russell Wilson.
And it was the lone passing touchdown for Russell Wilson, 14 of 31, 219 yards. That touchdown also did have an interception. The Las Vegas Raiders were up 20-0. They lost 29-3. Let's hear how this happened right at the end of regulation. And then what did transpire in overtime when the Raiders, who wanted no part of being in overtime, but they looked like they were going to go win the game, and all this mayhem did occur.
Snap to Murray, drops back to throw, looking, steps up, takes off, heading to the near sideline, gets into the end zone, sticks the ball out for the touchdown with no time left, and the Cardinals get 6 points, no time left. They'll run a two-point play to try to send this game to overtime. It's 23-21. Here we go. We either have overtime or a Raiders win. No time on the clock. Ball on the far hash mark. Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Everybody covered. Pointing. Directing traffic. Fires back at the end zone. And a sliding attempt. And A.J. Green pulled it in. He got it. It's It's a two-point conversion. We are going to overtime. What a throw by Murray.
Quick throw left side. Renfro with a catch. And he breaks one tackle. Then the ball comes out. It's loose. And it's picked up by the Cardinals in midfield. It's picked up by Byron Murphy at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. Ball game. Byron Murphy picks up the ball at midfield, returns it for a touchdown, and the Cardinals win. No flags. What an unbelievable finish here in Vegas.
Dave Pasch on the Cardinals Radio Network. Kyler Murray, he was Superman, down 20-0, 31-49, 277 yards, and two total touchdowns. And then on Sunday Night Football, bum bum bada bum bum bada 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 bum, we had the Packers and the Bears. A perfect get-right game for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones on an 8-yard TD reception. This made it 17-7 in the second quarter. Let's listen up to Packers radio.
Rodgers in the shotgun. Watkins to his right. They get motion. Aaron Jones to the right side. Flipping to Jones around the right end. Gets a block.
Yes.
To the end zone. For
yes.
The touchdown.
Aaron Jones. Thunder and lightning going around the edge. He's led and escorted into the end zone by a blocking A.J. Dillon. Beautiful play.
Second touchdown of the night for Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, 15 rushes, 132 yards, and a touchdown. Also had three receptions for 38 yards and a receiving touchdown as well. That's a no-huddle offense, week two in the National Football League. Hey, Hickey, just real quickly, when I hear the background noise there on the Packers broadcast call, how many NFL stadiums do you think you've been to? If you had to just give me an estimation off the top of your head, how many NFL stadiums have you been to?
Like for NFL games?
Yeah. What? A concert? Yeah, for NFL games.
I was going to say, I've been to them for college games. I've actually been to more NFL stadiums for college games than actual NFL
games. Okay, fine. Then you can incorporate that as well.
Oh.
Because I've been to Foxborough. I've been to MetLife. I have been to the Dolphins Stadium, whatever they call that now. I've been to Buffalo. I've been to SoFi Stadium. I've been to the Ravens Stadium. I've been to your team stadium. That was for a Super Bowl. I'm trying to think. That's seven right there. I've been to the 49ers' new stadium in Santa Clara. So that's eight. And I think... I've been to the Falcons, the Texans stadium as well. So I think that's nine. I've been to nine NFL stadiums. And maybe I'm missing one or two that I just can't think of off the top of my head. Estimation, how many do you think you've been to?
I think just three.
Okay. MetLife, I thought there was going to be a lot more. You made it seem like it was going to be more.
Baltimore for a Penn State-Maryland game.
And then
Ravens
you went
stadium.
To Lucas Oil for the Big Ten Championship?
Yes.
If there's one stadium, now I've been to quite a few. You have only been to three. Oh, did I say the Eagles? I've definitely been to Lincoln Financial Field. Oh, and the Commander Stadium, too. So I've been to at least 10 NFL stadiums. Is there one NFL stadium? Well, it has to be more than one for you. But if there's one NFL stadium that you haven't been to that you would love to go to, what is that NFL stadium?
I don't want to go the cliche answer of like Lambeau because everyone
well, that's
says
mine.
Lambeau.
I need to go to Lambeau Field before it's all said and done for yours truly.
I want to go to Seattle. I want to see what the 12th man is really about. That stadium, the way it's constructed is cool. It looks like it has a lot of good sight lines, a lot of good energy. See what the Seahawks are about.
I would also say the Saints as one that you have to
yes.
go to that I've
good
not
one.
Been to yet in the good Superdome. One. But you know where I also want to go? I want to go to Las Vegas for a game. Because I think the best constructed stadium in the NFL is SoFi Stadium. Like when I was at SoFi Stadium, and there's no history in that place, has been around long enough, it was just such a spectacle. And the only other stadium that is like just as new and is probably just as crazy, now Minnesota looks like a very nice venue as well. But Las Vegas, even Belichick was raving about the facilities in their training complex. I wonder what the stadium's actually like. So that was just a few that I did think of. But I have to go to Lambeau Field and get a little da-na-na-na-na-na. Go, Pack, go! Before it's all said and done. Okay, we had our wellness check on Hot Take Hickey at 6:40 p.m. Eastern. If you missed it, you could do the rewind function on the Odyssey app. When we come on back, we will get a wellness check on Jay in Alaska after his Las Vegas Raiders choked a 20-0 lead yesterday. Raiders superfan Jay in Alaska is on the hotline next.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm Listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm Listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You do have a Monday night doubleheader. And Hickey, I don't like what they're doing here. So this game starts a little after 7:15. The other game's supposed to start at 8:30. That doesn't make sense to go up against one another in these games. Bills, Tennessee, and then you also do have Philadelphia welcoming in the Minnesota Vikings. I don't like that. I know they usually do that doubleheader in week one on Monday Night Football, but they usually spread those games out. I don't love the formatting of this.
I would like it a lot more if we were not working, to be completely honest. I actually would like this if we were home watching both games, because it's almost like insurance in case, let's say, the Bills or the Titans are just having a great game. They're blowing the other one out. Okay, you can flip over, and there's almost a little game insurance.
You're being polite now. Say what you want to say. You hope the Bills mother bleep Tennessee tonight.
Oh, I hope Josh Allen gives them the New England Patriots treatment from last year and just goes up and down every time. No touch, touchdown only, no field goals, no punts.
I say this all the time. What makes you say that you have a franchise quarterback? And there's all these different explanations. And for years, my explanation has been, if it's third down, I don't care what the distance is. Do you have the confidence? And do you feel right away in that moment when you're on the couch that your quarterback is going to find a way to convert on third down? Or if you give him the ball back in the final 2 minutes, he's going to find a way to go tie or win the game. Josh Allen already. I've only seen 2 third down so far. If there's more, I'll apologize on it. But there was 3rd and 9. He made the play with his legs and bulldozed through the Tennessee defense. And just on 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9 again, used his arm to get it done. He is an unstoppable force in Josh Allen. And I know we're not reinventing the wheel here or telling you anything that you've never heard before. But every single time you watch this guy, you just get more and more impressed because he continues, Ryan, to make Superman play after Superman play each and every game. And there's not a team in the league right now. It doesn't mean he's going to win the Super Bowl. But there's not a team in the league right now that has an answer on how to try to slow down one Josh Allen. It is remarkable every time you watch this guy. And we're only a few minutes into the game. They haven't even scored yet.
Well, there's one team that's out there that has his number or able to slow him down. Jaguars. 6 points last year.
Oh, last year. That's true. And Tennessee did beat them last year. Remember, they stuffed him.
But to be fair, that was like, 38-35 or 35-31. Like, Josh Allen had a day.
Oh, yeah, he was
good. But you're right. Yes, they got the big stop at the end when needed.
Oh, look at you talking about Jacksonville, trying to make the Jaguars as if they're the 85 Bears just to try to excuse your
pathetic
Colts
loss. I've never seen a better defense in my life, let me tell you.
Another third down conversion for the Buffalo Bills. I made a few plays on this game. I did take Tennessee plus the 10.5. It's just a lot of points. But I do have a Josh Allen rushing touchdown that I'm looking for. And then I think I may just make this bet every Well, I'm not every NFL Sunday, but I make it a lot. Dawson Knox anytime touchdown. I'm a big fan of Dawson Knox. I think Dawson Knox is one of the more underrated tight ends in the NFL. He is a tremendous football player. No Gabe Davis in this game tonight. How do you think this game's going to play out? I think the Bills are going to win. I do think Tennessee, though, will keep it close for a little bit. Then it will get out of hand, and then Tennessee will backdoor cover on the 10.5 points.
I think it will actually be decently close for 2.5, 3 quarters, and the Bills pull away late, run away, cover the 10.5 number.
And it's weird. Usually, with the weather that I saw before the game, I know Buffalo fans are crazy, but the weather before the game, it looked windy out there in Buffalo. And these fans, well, this is actually probably good weather in Buffalo right now. You get like 70-something degrees.
Should know that from
summer
last
in Buffalo.
Year.
Yeah, that is true. I froze my ass off in -2 degrees. Well, how about the game tonight? Eagles and Minnesota. I like Minnesota in this game tonight, but I feel like everyone likes Minnesota. When you're taking a look at these two teams, Kirk Cousins does play well up against the Eagles, but then he also doesn't play well on Monday Night Football. This is a great litmus test game for both teams because these teams are pretty even. They're pretty close. They have a lot of upside. We're trying to figure out who's going to be that third or fourth best team in the NFC. It could be one of those two teams. Minnesota, a dominant victory up against Green Bay last week. The Eagles, they beat the Lions 38-35. I will go... I'll take Minnesota in the game tonight. From what they did last week, I think they look better than Philadelphia. As Gilliam just scored a touchdown for the Buffalo Bills. So everyone's scoring for Buffalo. But I'll take Minnesota tonight. Their defense does concern me a little bit. Even though it played well last week, really well last week, I just wonder what is the reality of that defense. But I'll take the Vikings tonight. Yourself?
I'm on Minnesota as well, a little more confident.
Eagles winning. Bet the Eagles. Bet the Eagles.
Bet the Eagles for sure. Kirk Cousins meltdown coming.
If we're both on the Vikings, bet the Eagles tonight.
It's going to be a fun atmosphere, though, I will say. Philly fans think they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, they've been tailgating. There was a fan on the local news this morning. They did a report outside the stadium. He was there at like 5 in the morning, I was reading online.
Got to get that primo parking spot.
Game doesn't start until 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
It's a long day. Hope you brought a lot of food.
There is nothing like an early tailgate in Philadelphia. Hey, you see some crazy things in that parking lot as someone that has tailgated early in Philadelphia. 855-212-4CBS. Uh-oh. On the line now, Raiders superfan Jay in Alaska. Jay, your football team, you don't need me to remind you. We're up by 20 points yesterday and couldn't get the job done. Jay, are you alive? Are you okay?
Yeah, I got to say, if you give me a second, I'm going to tell you why I'm so pissed. And you're going to be surprised by my answer. I'm pissed at the NFL, and I'm pissed at the players. These China doll, private chef having, private masseuse getting, you know, $24 million crybaby China dolls. Can't stay healthy. They can't stay on the field. They cry about, oh, I don't want to do OTAs. I don't want to do contact. I don't want to play in the preseason. I don't want to play. And now you can't stay on the freaking field and play football. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Well, Jay,
they make more money than I do.
I'm disgusted. Jay, I get it that they make a lot of money. This is a violent sport. But you can't be blaming the preseason for yesterday. I know now it's an extension.
Hold on.
I know now the first few weeks of regular season are extension of preseason because of the approach in the preseason. You're up 20-0 yesterday. I don't want to hear about the preseason.
I agree with you on that. Yesterday's game was all I blame that. That's the second one. That is all on Josh McDaniels. Terrible play calling in the second half. You did not run the freaking football. You got a healthy Josh Jacobs. You have a running back stable, and you did not sustain drives and put the game away. But the reason why I disagree with you is game one. If you look at last year,
your quarterback when John threw three Gruden, picks in game
no,
one.
Listen. Let me finish. John Gruden last year made Derek Carr play in the preseason. What happened on Monday night against the Ravens? Derek Carr came out and balled out. They played the game of the century and beat the Ravens. This year, Josh McDaniels keeps Derek Carr standing on the sidelines. He comes and plays his worst game of the season, and we still had a chance to win that game. It is not our team that can't win. It's the coaching and the fact that they did not play. They are so rusty. The whole Colton Miller, he was horrible.
You got no offensive line, and the defense isn't that good. I was optimistic about the Raiders. I thought they were the third best team in this division, and thanks for the phone call. I had them go into the playoffs. But when your quarterback throws three picks in the first game, and then in the second game you're up 20-0, they were ready to go yesterday. So you can't tell me the preseason is why they're 0-2, because they were ready to go yesterday. They were up 20-0. It's not like they were down 20-0 and then just couldn't complete the comeback in the fourth quarter. You were up 20-0. And is it on the preseason too where Hunter Renfrow put the ball on the turf yesterday? No, it was a great hit by the Cardinals. So the preseason, I understand it is something that it probably does behoove these teams to get those reps, and you really can't place a value on it, and you've seen a lot of sloppy play around the rest of the league. But the whole league's basically doing it. You got off to a good start yesterday, and your team choked. That's the bottom line.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. Chronic stress is trauma.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt. And that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Justin Fields, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, they lose last night. They're 1-1 on the season. They beat the 49ers last week. They lose to the Packers last night in Lambeau Field. Justin Fields says the loss definitely stings more for the players than the fans.
It hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, it hurts. But, we just got to respond.
It's amazing to me that players just don't get it. You lose the game, just get up to the podium. We lost the game. We got to be better next time. We got to do this, this, and this. And you get out. Once you start going after the fans in a game, especially for the Bears, like this isn't like what Myles Garrett said in just a second. For the Bears, no one thought you were going to win. So why do you want to bring this unnecessary attention to you? And Myles Garrett the other day, after they blew that game, you didn't hear about this, Hickey?
No.
Myles Garrett. Oh, my good. I thought this was an Onion article. Myles Garrett, when the Browns choked in the final 2 minutes when they blew a 13-point lead, he said he goes, on how hard it was to watch Browns fans walk out of First Energy Stadium disappointed. That was a question. The more disappointing thing was the booing at the end. It was not the most optimal ending to have. Of course we want to win. Of course we want to play out the game. And it ends 36-17, whatever it was. We get a pick or a strip sack at the end of the game, but that's not how it always goes. These guys are still putting their asses on the line and playing as hard as they can, and they should be respected as such. Like, dude, you just blew a 13-point lead with 2 minutes to go. You allowed, and it wasn't to a good team. It was to the Jets. teams in that spot of 13-plus points or more in the final 2 minutes won 2,229 consecutive games. Just take ownership there. Now you're starting to fight with one of the more loyal fans in the league in the Cleveland Browns. That team has sucked for years, and those fans still show up. I say this all the time. Every coach should show Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins, after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, their first game back in Philadelphia, the first game of the season since winning the Super Bowl, it was 6-3 at halftime. The Falcons were beating the Eagles. They got booed off the field at halftime. Malcolm Jenkins, after the game, goes, "I'm just happy our fans didn't get complacent. I thought maybe after winning a Super Bowl, they'd get a little complacent and let us off the hook. Glad to see that they were still booing." It's like amazing how players don't get that, Ryan.
And like, what's the win here? If you're Justin Fields, like, what are you trying to accomplish, or what is there to gain by trying to attack the fans?
And not that I think you should attack the fans anyway, but it'd be one thing if you won the game and go, "Oh, they booed us last week. We proved them wrong." Like, not smart to do. But you got to do it in a win. You can't attack the fans when you lost and no one thought you were going to win. And for Myles Garrett, like, shut up, dude. You just lost. That was a historical loss. That was one of the worst Browns losses you'll see. And trust me, there's been a lot of bad losses throughout the years. How about Devin White keeping it real on the interview after the game on the field on Fox Sports on why the Buccaneers were able to force 5 turnovers against the Saints?
Hey, man, when Jameis left our team, everybody know what he did that last year. And we feel like we had a great defense then. And, you know, he threw 30 picks, you know, and we just knew he'd give us the ball. We knew the running backs, you know, cough it up. You know, and that's something we came in talking about. You know, we want 30 turnovers as a ball club ourselves. So this just was another game to go attack the ball.
Now, he said that on the field after the game, he said the same thing in the locker room. On the flight back, Leonard Fournette was on Instagram Live. Chris Godwin, who did not play in the game, he was hurt, walked over to Devin White and said, "Why do you have to do Jameis like that?" Chris Godwin was annoyed at what Devin White said. And Devin White, when Leonard Fournette goes, "Guys, I'm on Instagram Live," Devin White goes, "I said in the locker room? I said it on the field after the game? I'll say it on Instagram Live. I don't care." Going after Jameis Winston a little bit. Now, he's not wrong with what he said, but I do respect Chris Godwin for sticking up for an old teammate, even though now they're going up against them. Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins came back from down 35-14 in the fourth quarter. Tua threw 4 passing touchdowns in the fourth and had 6 on the game. Tua Tagovailoa on what the comeback win means for this team.
I mean, I would say I'm always, you know, confident in what I can do, confident in myself. But, you know, I think that just shows the resiliency of our team. It brings all our confidence up. Confidence in one another, confidence that if the offense has a turnover, that the defense is going to get us the ball back and vice versa. So I think you look at the big picture of it, you know, the confidence goes up for the team.
Mike McDaniel is proud of the fight his team has showed.
It was something that we all kind of expected. They're investing more than they ever have. They're really all in. And it was way disappointing. And so when you're down, the tendency is to kind of like hang your head and be like, and it's from a good spot, but that, you know, I just challenged him to say that who cares what the score is? It's about how we play football together.
Derek Carr and the Raiders blew a 20-0 lead. He's not discouraged, though. He says the Raiders still have time to turn their season around.
You know me, I'm optimistic. This crap ain't over, you know. We feel crappy right now, but, you know, we are still a good football team. And so making sure we keep that mindset, not, oh, no, it's over. I mean, I've been doing this a while, man. And, you know, I know we got good guys that work hard and care, so I know that we can pull ourselves out of it. But it's going to take us doing it the right way.
Now, Derek Carr is a good leader, but I feel like he's always telling you, we could still do this, we could still do this, we could still do this. Eventually, you have to do it. I know they made the playoffs last year, but you have to then go make the playoffs again this year as you got better this offseason. You're now 0-2 in your next 3 games, Tennessee, Denver, and Kansas City. One more from the Dolphins-Ravens game. Here's Tyreek Hill, courtesy of ESPN. He has a message for all the Tua haters.
For all the haters out there, man, who saying Tua can't do this, can't be that, you know, I really hope you soon jump on this bandwagon, man, because Not only is Coach McDaniels going to need a wheelbarrow, he also going to need a tour, going to need a wheelbarrow after the season. To tote his money, his boatload of money, and also his Coco Hornets.
Man, how fun would it be if the Dolphins, Ryan, don't make the playoffs at the end of the year? Twitter would be great, especially just with that quote.
Old takes exposed. I'm sure he's taking note right now. A lot of Tyreek Hill tweets are in the chamber, ready to go.
Right, the gift from the office when you're writing the...
Ryan Howard, yes. Writing the names down on the list. Tyreek Hill, add it to the list.
Exactly. Kevin Stefanski, as the Browns allow a 13-point lead slip away and lose in regulation in the final 2 minutes, says this was an entire team collapse at the end of the game.
Everybody's going to want to point fingers and say, whose fault was this? Put on everybody. It's all of us, me, coaches, players. It's everybody. We own it. What we can't do is let this linger, because we got a game Thursday night against a division opponent right back here. So we got to real quickly move on from this one. And that was my message to the team.
I think entering this season, people are understanding with Kevin Stefanski, it's tough to evaluate him because you don't have Deshaun Watson for the first 11 games. But when you lose a game like that, the hot seat conversation starts to commence. Frank Reich should be fired. 0-1-1 to start off the season, and has not won in Jacksonville, the Colts as a team. I know he was not there for all of it since 2014. Frank Reich is ready to move on from a 24-0 loss to the Jaguars.
Rough day. Credit to Jacksonville. They outplayed us, outcoached us. We'll learn from it. We'll get better. We'll pick ourselves up off the mat. It's early in the season. Obviously, a very poor showing in every way.
And then Frank Reich says the Colts aren't that far off from where they need to be.
I've been around long enough to know that, as pathetic as that was today, where that is and where we need to be, the distance is not that far. It's not that far because we got the guys, the players, and coaches to do it. So I know that doesn't play outside in the outside world, and I'm fine with that. You know, we'll take our medicine, I'll take my medicine, and we'll just keep doing what we do.
Yeah, that's a horrible quote, and he knows it. But he says that the team needs to hear it. But when you say you're not that far off and you lose the game 24-0, that's tough to believe. The only saving grace is the division absolutely just stinks. Trey Lance, I'm out for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo discusses what it's like to be the starter again for the 49ers.
Just like riding a bike, yeah. felt good to be back out there. Just feel terrible for Trey. I've been on that side of it. This league is tough, and you know, everyone has their share of injuries, but that sucks for him. And feel bad for him, but he's our brother, and you know, we'll pick him up. I saw him for a quick second after, just wishing him well. Like I said, I've been there. I'd come full circle in this thing, and it's tough whenever you see a guy get hurt. You feel for him, but Trey's a tough dude. He'll be all right.
I think with Jimmy G and a quarterback for the wins and losses of the football team this year, it improves the 49ers' chances of making the playoffs, but long term, he's not their guy, and now Trey Lance, who's in his second season, you're really not going to know what he is. And then next year, when a guy has a season-ending injury, it takes like a full season, even though he'll be playing and expect to make a full recovery, it does take like a full season to get back to feeling like yourself. So I don't know what the future is going to look like for Trey Lance. He'll be given another opportunity. I just don't know what he's going to look like when he gets on the field. And this is a guy that didn't play last year, only played 2 starts, and the year before that lost a year because of COVID. Nathaniel Hackett's a disgrace. There's no other things really to say. We'll do a whole segment on this later, on his incompetence, but Nathaniel Hackett agrees with the fans booing the team.
The crowd obviously frustrated at times, but can you just give me a sense of overall?
I don't blame him. I was booing myself. I mean, I was getting very frustrated. I mean, get down to the red zone 2 times, don't get another touchdown, which is unbelievably frustrating. I don't think we've scored in there yet. And that's something that all of our guys got to step it up, whether we run the ball more, whatever we're doing, we just got to execute at a higher level.
I know what Nathaniel Hackett's good at, hot take Hickey. I have it. After 2 games, I know what he's good at. Any guesses?
Speaking fast.
That's one of them. He does speak very quickly. He at least knows not to attack the fans. Because that would have been the nail in the coffin with how disgraceful he's been if he said, the fans got to give me a chance or the fans shouldn't be booing our team. He used the line, I'd be booing as well. Finally, Nathaniel Hackett on why there continues to be issues getting lined up and getting the play in on time.
We're just going to have to be sure we evaluate everything, whether it's getting the personnels out there or lack thereof, and making sure the play's coming in nice and clean, and just getting into the huddle and out of the huddle. So we just got to keep talking about that. I'll talk with Russ, find out anything that I can do to help him make it better. And, you know, that's inexcusable. That's on us. That's us hurting ourselves.
I've never seen, Ryan, someone's own fans chant down the play clock. I've only seen it where a home stadium will do it to the away team to try to get them to snap the ball quickly, or in basketball, shoot the ball when the shot clock's winding down, maybe earlier than when it actually is. I've never seen the own home team try to assist their own team to count down the play clock out loud. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, with how sloppy that was yesterday for the Denver Broncos. Ay, ay, ay. Let Russ cook. How about let Russ snap? Disgraceful. Brian McFadden next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
Join us for Odyssey's I'm Listening 2-Hour National Mental Health Conversation, Wednesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. Talk saves lives.